We are now joined by Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News military analyst. Colonel McCausland, thanks for joining us on KMOX. And we all are reading about the downing of the KC-135 over the friendly skies of Iraq.
Yeah, absolutely, without question. Obviously, preliminary reports are limited at the moment. The aircraft did go down without a doubt. It had a crew of six. Four sadly were killed, two were recovered, no reports on their condition, obviously no names released or the unit that they were assigned with, likely conducting aerial refueling operations over western Iraq, safe airspace, which the Air Force does routinely. And in many ways, when we talk about the fighters and the bombers that are going in to deliver ordnance on target, the refuelers are the backbone of an air campaign. Without the refuelers, that doesn't happen. And it's a pretty amazing operation. I've actually been on board when they occurred. You might think the fuselage is all fuel. Actually, it's not. It's wide open. And they can carry a few passengers. That's what I was doing. I was hitching a ride or some cargo. The fuel for refueling is actually in the belly of the plane and in the wings. But literally, you walk back to the back. You crawl down into a glass bubble on the belly of the airplane with the boom operator. And then he literally flies this pipe, which has got wings on it, as an aircraft comes up, plugs into that pipe, you refuel it, they pull off, and you go on to the next guy. So for the Air Force and the guys who do this and gals who do this, it's a pretty routine operation. But I got to tell you, when you're doing that about, you know, flying several hundred miles an hour at 15, 20,000 feet, it's a pretty amazing event.
Yeah, and you would, you know, it's almost amazing that these kinds of accidents don't happen more frequently, given the just immensely difficult task that is.
Yeah, and it's done hundreds and thousands. I'm sure in this particular campaign alone, it's been done hundreds and if not thousands of times to keep the aircraft over target for surveillance or because they're actually escorting bombers or they're actually employing ordnance. So it's done that many times, but as routine. I've talked to pilots who've been involved either as refuelers or as the people being refueled, and they can say the challenge is maintaining constant airspeed. The two aircraft have got to really maintain very, very close constant airspeed. If one speeds up, slows down, then you got a problem. Obviously, as well, if you hit air turbulence, since you're flying on, you suddenly hit air turbulence, that could cause a major problem. In fact, both pilots and both aircraft, as well as the boom operator, are trained if anything seems to go wrong, you immediately start hollering, breakaway, breakaway, breakaway on the radio, and you immediately break away. The lead aircraft, the refueler, pulls up and gains altitude. The refueled aircraft breaks away, cuts to the left, and drops altitude as quickly as you can.
Colonel Jeff McCausland is our guest, CBS News military analyst. The rationale for getting involved in this conflict, to at least in my civilian eyes, has seemed to be all over the board. Was there a clear rationale to enter this? And what do you see as the clear objective of the U.S. military here?
Well, in my military eyes, it's unclear, too. So we're in the same boat here. One journalist who tracked this closely claimed he'd come up with 10 different reasons why the war occurred now. Now, there was a very sad history between the United States and Iran. There's no doubt about it. You can go back to 1979, seizure of our embassy, holding of hostages for over 400 days. 1983, suicide bomber Beirut, Lebanon, supported by the Iranians, kills over 200 Marines. Throughout the war in Iraq, the Iranians were providing improvised explosive devices and other weapons to Iraqi militia groups that killed hundreds, if not thousands, of Americans. Curiously, the Iranians actually provided us support in the war in Afghanistan because they had no love for the Taliban. So actually, we were allied in some particular places, and we were kind of indirectly allied in a way in the campaign over the last few years to try to destroy ISIS in northern Iraq. But overall, a sad history. And the president has said, you know, it's time. This is sort of payback for all that has occurred in the past. We've talked about, of course, how terrible they are to their population. And it is an enormously repressive regime. It's killed thousands of their people. But I think the real key here is there was no clear, imminent threat that Iran posed to the United States. All the talk about them getting ready to attack us, there's been no evidence of that. There was no real evidence of them having the imminent capacity to produce a nuclear weapon. even as this began, the Secretary of State, Mr. Rubio, said they were not reprocessing any uranium further beyond what they already have done. So that the cause, you're right, is somewhat vague, to say the least. And then the end state is also, and that makes it hard for military people like me who look at military power as being applied to create a political end state. But if I can't figure out what the end state is, that's hard to do. And we've had at least three that I can tell. One is to blunt their missile capacity to threaten our bases and our friends in the region. Second is to destroy their nuclear facilities so they can't build a nuclear weapon. Well, you can do those two things, but to verify they can't recover, you're going to have to put boots on the ground to make sure that they're not reconstituting or some kind of capacity to do that. And last but not least, we've been back and forth on, are we in favor of regime change or not? I mean, the president said, oh, unconditional surrender from the Iranians. Well, that's the Japanese on the deck of the battleship Missouri, which means we're going to turn over all our weapons and whatever political choices are made are going to be made by you. And we actually ruled Japan for several years thereafter.
Colonel Jeff McCausland is our guest. And Colonel, you laid out what's happening in Iran right now. But the one of the consequences of this conflict is the Strait of Hormuz now finds itself inoperable, and the global economy looks like it may be coming to a screeching halt. Was this an oversight or was this expected?
Well, it should have been expected. I mean, I've been through war games involving Iran probably for the last 20 years before I retired from the Army. And in every war game with Iran, the Iranians were trying to close the Straits of Hormuz. And you can go back to the tanker wars in the 1980s with Ronald Reagan, and we were escorting naval vessels through the Straits of Hormuz for that particular reason. The challenge is the way to do that has changed dramatically. Back in those days, it was mainly a concern of the missiles being launched from shore, striking tankers traveling through this narrow strait of about 20 miles, or perhaps sea mines. Well, those two capabilities still remain, but the bigger threat now seems to be, of course, the drone. And we've seen 16 ships hit. Most of those, as I can tell, have been hit by drones. But the Iranians were able to employ not only aerial drones, but drones at sea, which are unmanned boats full of explosives and that can be directed to strike a tanker. And as long as they can make those ships feel vulnerable to any of those three threats, then the maritime companies are not going to move. They're not going to be able to get any insurance. Everything's going to stop. So normally we have about 80 tankers passing through the straits on any single day. Now we're down to one or two. In fact, the biggest exporter of oil coming out of the Straits of Hormuz right now is Iran, because they don't shoot at their tankers.
That's just crazy. We've just got a little bit of time left, but I wanted to ask you, Russia providing aid to Iran, the U.S. removing sanctions on Russian oil. What do you make of this?
The Russians are the big winner. The Russians have been the big winner in this war. I mean, as you suggest, we cut down on the sanctions on the export of oil so they can export oil. That is the primary export that the Russians have and the primary contributor to their economy, which has been kind of on the rocks over the last few weeks and months because of the war in Ukraine. Big, big benefit there. Is anybody talking about the war in Ukraine right now, even though we're past the four-year anniversary of Russian aggression? No, we're not talking about that at all. We're all fixated on what's going on in Iran. Curiously, during these last couple of weeks, the Ukrainians have actually recovered some territory. They've actually been on the counteroffensive a little bit. Thirdly, we know that the Russians are providing intelligence to the Iranians about the location of U.S. ships, aircraft, etc. They did the same thing with the Houthis in the Red Sea. And our senior negotiator, Mr. Witkoff, said, well, the Russians say they aren't doing that and we should take them at their word. Really? Take the Russians at their word? Are you serious? And then last but not least, of course, in the middle of all this, the President of the United States, Mr. Trump, calls Mr. Putin, which may seem insignificant, but I got to tell you, is enormously important to Putin. He wants to be on the world stage. He wants to be treated as an equal to the United States. And he wants to be treated as a participant, even though he's irrelevant in many ways in this conflict. And that's exactly what we did.
Great stuff, as always, from Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News military analyst. Thanks so much for your time.